Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in. It's the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. It's Wednesday afternoon, August 8th. Significant because the Ocho is on the air. The three of us are sitting here trying to figure out.
He scored a point.
Kabaddi. They're playing Kabaddi. So one dude up against like seven other dudes trying to figure out what he's doing.
It's tag.
What is he trying to do?
It's tag.
Just tag somebody.
Yeah.
Why is he kicking?
It's just some type of form of tag. Maybe you can touch with your hand or your feet.
I think the kicking is intimidation.
They can't leave the yellow, right?
Okay, we'll go with that.
I mean, otherwise, they could just...
And it looks like you have a time limit.
Yeah, because that dude failed.
It's 1-0.
So it looks like you got 30 seconds.
1-0 India over Iran in Kabaddi.
I did see the scoring play, if you want to call it. He tagged him. So that's
with
the
his
only,
hand, or did he kick
with
him?
His hand. It was okay. With his hand.
It's really weird. It's really weird.
Hey, this is something we could do, though.
I mean, we could. This is something you see like at recess.
Yeah. Right? This is a game somebody made up, and a lot of people went, oh, that's a good idea. Let's continue.
And you know
with
what?
That.
They put it on TV, and people are trying to monetize it.
Oh, it's all day of this on
ESPN2. This is what the Ocho is all about right here.
All day of this on the Ocho today. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on Kabaddi. Now it's 2-0 India.
I mean, like, this is like a real
dumb thing
production as well.
No,
yeah. Look at this.
I mean, unlike the thing we watched radio, earlier, but this is an international sport. Mm-hmm. A lot of countries participate in this. Mm-hmm. Just not here.
They even have thunder sticks in the
crowd.
Yeah,
I know. I'm guessing we don't have an American team, but I could be wrong.
I don't know, but India is rocking and rolling now. They're up 3-0. Now they're fighting, wrestling.
Now we're talking.
It's getting a little rough out there. Anyway, keep an eye on the Ocho. Hey, welcome into the Huddle today. We have plenty to get into today. More Panthers training camp coverage. We'll hear from Shaq Thompson, the linebacker for the Carolina Panthers. Coming up on the show, we have three questions coming up. Diddy's going to pop in today because tomorrow will be a radiothon, tomorrow and Friday. So we'll check in on some baseball stuff with him. Hear from my guy Aaron Rodgers fussing at his wide receivers at Green Bay training camp. That's coming up. Some thoughts on Ohio State from Ian Fitzsimmons of ESPN. We'll do that coming up as well. And we'll hear from Lance Thompson. He coaches defensive line at South Carolina. Defensive line, one of the big concerns about the Gamecocks this year. And we'll hear Lance Thompson talk about progress in preseason practice down in Columbia. We'll take your calls, your texts, and your tweets. 844-477-3776 is our phone number. The Health Dare text line is 71307. Start your message with ESPN. And we're on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. So right before we came on the air today, I had some breaking NCAA news that we will try to figure out together here. Has to do with basketball. They're trying to clean up college basketball. We know that much after the big FBI probe and various controversies in recent months and recent years. So a series of policy and rules changes have been adopted today by the NCAA. Among the significant changes adopted by the Board of Governors and the Division I Board of Directors, the NCAA, this is basketball now, they will allow elite high school recruits and players to be represented by agents. But those agents have to be certified by the NCAA. So this is why they're still playing. They will allow agents to get involved. That's probably one of the big headlines. They will allow college basketball players to enter the NBA draft and then come back to school if they don't get drafted. Pretty significant there, right? So that's a real true test of the waters. Go see what happens and come back if you don't
because
like it.
Right now, currently, the system is set up that you can declare for the NBA, you can go get evaluated, But then you have to withdraw your name before the NBA draft, like a week before the NBA draft.
Right.
You have to withdraw your name, and you can't have any type of agent contact. Or if you do have agent contact and you have representation, then that was nullifying your eligibility. But this is a twofold situation where you can have the agent beforehand,
mm-hmm.
and now you can retract your submission to the NBA after the fact.
If you're undrafted. But what if you don't like where you're drafted?
No.
I mean, it's a two-round draft. So
it is a two-round draft,
no,
yeah.
No big deal there, I guess.
Agreed. And, no, it's not a situation where, I don't want to go to Denver.
Right. Well, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean the place. I meant the slot.
I think it could be both.
if you went late in the second round and you hoped you were a first round pick or something. But anyway, apparently no. If you're drafted, that's it.
So
you're taking that risk. But if you're drafted, you're probably pretty happy, for the most part, in a 2-round draft, right?
It gives you one better chance of making it in the NBA.
Yeah.
First, you know, one step is getting drafted.
Yep. What else? They have introduced more rigorous certification requirements for summer basketball events. That has been an issue. Longer postseason bans, head coach suspensions, and increased recruiting restrictions for college coaches who break the rules. Longer bans, get that. Longer postseason bans and head coach suspensions and increased recruiting restrictions if you break the rules. So college coaches under a little more pressure there. The NCAA is overhauling its process for investigating and adjudicating, there's your $2 word of the day, complex cases involving its rules. They are overhauling that process on how they investigate and hand out punishment. Two independent groups will be appointed to oversee and resolve complex cases, which might involve academic misconduct, major penalties, or adversarial behavior. This first independent group will include external investigators with no school or conference affiliation and select enforcement staff from the NCAA. There will be a second group comprised of 15 people with backgrounds in law, higher education, and sports with no affiliations to NCAA schools or conferences. They'll review the findings of the first group. Okay. So trying to get a little more independent voice in there and not let, coaches and athletic directors police each other, I guess, right?
That's what it seems to me, is that it's not going to be a one judge and jury type of situation. And here, looking at, is there a better way to have some checks and balances within that, mm-hmm. as well, by having the independent people and then two separate committees so one can review the findings of another.
Yeah, and that oversight committee, that second committee, will have folks that are not affiliated with any schools or conferences, which, can be an issue at times, probably has been an issue. Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, said this. He said, these changes will promote integrity in the game, strengthen accountability, and prioritize the interest of student athletes over every other factor. We remain committed to promoting fairness in college sports and creating an environment that will champion the success of student athletes. Emmert said the NCAA would continue to work with the NBA, the Players Association, apparel companies, and USA Basketball to come up with even more solutions. Emmert said, if they are unwilling or unable to act, we will consider additional changes that will support the success of student athletes. He said, it's on us to restore the integrity of college basketball and continue to improve the interest of student athletes. They deserve nothing less. Is it all as clear as mud to you on how this is going to work out?
Yeah, this is going to take several days to really dive into the details and decipher this, because one of the things that I'm also looking at is that now they're doing away with the 5 official visits. Typically, mm-hmm. you're limited to 5 visits. Now, you can do as many unofficial visits as you want. That's where you're paying your own expenses, you're securing your own transportation there, et cetera, where the official visits, the schools can provide that. And it looks like here now you have an opportunity of 5 visits between a certain period of time in their junior year, and then 5 visits between the end of their junior year and October 15th after high school graduation, and then 5 visits between October 15th and after high school graduation and the remainder of their college eligibility. So the way I'm reading this, it looks like a person could have a maximum of 15 visits based on what they want to do in terms of their signing.
That's a lot of visits.
That's a lot of visits. That really is. And so, this is kind of very fluid as we're reading all of this information.
Yep.
But
just came out.
There's some significant changes that are going to be happening here. And I think it still muddies the water, though, to a certain degree. I think there's going to be a lot of questions as far as, especially when you start looking at how do you're defining elite athletes.
Yeah, that's the one thing that jumps out at me that I'm not sure I like is that you have to be an elite athlete, whatever that definition is, to be able to get an agent.
That's subjective.
It's subjective. And why?
Why can't anybody?
Somebody less than elite have an agent if they want to.
That's right. I agree. It should be anybody. It should correspond to any athlete. And I even take it to the next level is that I like at least the direction that basketball is going here. But why doesn't the NCAA apply these type of rules to every athlete? Why does it have to be just high school basketball? I mean, why does it have to just be basketball?
And it all ties back to USA basketball. I'm not real sure about that either. What if you are, Jeff Goodman asked this question, what if you don't want to play in the USA basketball system? What happens to you?
Yeah, how are you evaluated? Yeah, do they evaluate you differently? Is there a bias because you didn't want to play in their organization? Now, I would have to say USA basketball has a great reputation, and just even from their setup and the governing body of USA basketball, so it is highly regarded. So I think that is a good step that the NCAA is actually bringing USA basketball into the fold, where for up until now, they've been completely separate. And that's been one of the talk tracks, is that why would you not try to have them involved in the NCAA college basketball because of, you know, the structure that they have?
There are good basketball players who, for whatever reason, are not USA basketball eligible. What happens to those guys? Why can't they have an agent?
Yeah.
Right?
I think it opens up many more questions, and I think we'll be getting more details as we progress, not only today, but in the next couple of days, just really understanding what all of these changes are, because they're significant. I mean, this is not just, you know, one or two different policy changes. This is some sweeping changes for the NCAA.
Yeah, there's no question. And you can go to NCAA.org and see their spin on it, what they think, what they're trying to do, at least, whether it's going to be effective or not. You can see what they say in there. And a lot of it has to do with agents and some flexibility on the draft, being able to come back to college if you are eligible for the draft, go through the draft, and are not drafted. I do like that. Look, if you're not drafted and you came out early, you're in no man's land. I don't have any problem with you coming back to school. Do you?
No. None.
Yeah. So I like that part. And I don't want to just pile on the NCAA because they make things so complicated, and this does feel like it's a little complicated. They're trying to do something, and they have to. College basketball is a little bit of a mess right now.
That's
right.
Fix it. Yes, and obviously it all stemmed from the FBI investigation, and I still think there's even questions in terms of what federal rules did they violate necessarily, but that's a whole different topic. But there had to be some changes, and I think this is just going to be the first step that we're going to see this. It will carry over into other sports, and what will that look like in terms of, can football players do this? Is there going to be a separate designation for elite level, you know, football players, that type of thing? And will there be questions from that standpoint, even from football? Can you enter the draft, come back? And I know one of the things that from a basketball standpoint too, could how this will affect recruiting. Because if a guy declares for the draft, you're recruiting, say, a guy to replace him, then he doesn't get drafted, then he decides to come back. Does that change any recruiting philosophies that coaches are going to have? So they're going to have to adjust to that.
What do you have to do to be elite? I mean, who decides if you're elite? And what if you're on the edge of being elite? And, you know, what do you need to do to be considered elite?
You got to get the attention of USA Basketball. because they're the judge and jury on your eliteness.
Yeah, basically USA Basketball has to certify you as an elite player. However, they whatever the metrics that they use, however they grade you out, they are. Sounds like they are the
and you know look maybe nobody's that. Better qualified than USA Basketball to do that.
Oh, I agree. But, they are.
But I don't see the harm in not limiting it to elite athletes. I mean, you might be dumb as a borderline player to get an agent, but why can't you?
Yeah, well, and why can't – I mean, is it going to be a situation where these players, if they get an evaluation grade, hey, I want to appeal that grade. Mm-hmm. Let me get a different –
So is this like when ESPN or some other company comes out with their top 50 players in the country type thing? Is it – I mean, is that how they will declare an elite?
Yeah, but it'll be, USA Basketball instead of ESPN, right?
That's
and
right.
And, you're looking at a few less than 50 probably.
When will they come out with this list? There's so many things about this.
Agreed. There is so many questions about it. And I don't know when they put the list out. That's not on here. Work in progress here. And being unpacked by all the so-called experts right now who know more than we do, and they're still confused.
I think they are.
See, and I'm just thinking about a kid who's on the bubble and he doesn't make the list, so he gives up. And he may have had a chance to make it somewhere along the line. It just seems like it's adding more pressure to get yourself declared elite. And there are kids who, they get a shot somewhere and then they get better as they go along.
Sure.
Late bloomers.
Well, and then could you open up the can – or Pandora's box, so to speak, in terms of in trying to influence anybody that's on that committee for USA Basketball during the evaluation process. Would high school coaches, AAU coaches, parents, would they try to influence how their player or their child is evaluated?
Yeah, I think that danger is certainly going to be there. No question about that. So we'll watch for reaction to continue to come in, see, who brings up some good points. I've seen a lot of tweets about it already. Here's one from Jeff Goodman. There are the no-brainers talking about how the NCAA is only allowing high school seniors who've been designated as elite prospects by USA Basketball to have agents. Jeff Goodman says, there are the no-brainers. They have to be deemed elite. But what about the fringe guys who decide not to attend USA Basketball? Will they get penalized? Not a fan of this system. It wasn't well thought out. That's Jeff Goodman, for what it's worth. If you're the NCAA, you should be prepared to take shots when you put something out like this, and they'll get them.
They will, and I imagine they've got some rationale of why they said it this way. I just don't understand why it would be a limitation and why any – college basketball player wouldn't have the option, regardless of how they were evaluated.
That just jumps out, really, to everybody. Hey, you got to be an elite basketball player, as determined by some group of people with an opinion, to have an agent. That's what's jumping out at everybody.
Where does it fall in terms of elite in high school? Mm-hmm. You're elite your junior year, and you got to be reevaluated your senior year? Or once you have that evaluation and are considered elite, is there an expiration date on it?
Yeah, it's like they only want to have this select group of people, agents involved with a small group of people. They don't want agents taking over high school basketball. So they're trying to keep it very limited, but, man, it brings up more questions than answers. It really does.
It does. Right now.
All right, 844-477-3776. The text line from Health Dare is 71307, Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Now, we got Rich Take on Sports coming up. Also going to hear from Aaron Rodgers. He's grumpy, self-admittedly grumpy. That makes me feel great about the Packers right now, right? I'm glad he's being vocal, though. We'll hear from him coming up. The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The Huddle, ESPN Upstate. A little later on, we'll hear from Panthers linebacker Shaq Thompson. We also have our three questions segment coming up at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And Lance Thompson, the D-line coach for the Gamecocks, coming up as well in the show today. So keep it right here. 844-477-3776 is our phone number. Let's get it on early today. It's time now to get to Rich Take on Sports.
If you didn't see on Monday, Westgate Superbook came out with their odds for total wins for the NBA season 2018-2019. I know they were talking a lot about college football, talking about NFL right now, and that's what everybody is gearing up for. You can start smelling the grass, but I'm a basketball guy. The hardwood is still a dominant part of what I want to hear about, what I want to talk about. LeBron James is somebody who's making a lot of news, obviously. We just heard new information coming down about college basketball and some of the changes. So basketball is still relevant, and especially the NBA, knowing that we're looking at a situation where we haven't seen players moving across teams, and with LeBron James going to the Lakers, what does that do to the landscape of the Western Conference? What does that do to the Eastern Conference landscape? And I can tell you that it just shows you the power of LeBron James and what he brings to a team, regardless of his supporting cast. It doesn't matter necessarily if it's Jay Crowder, if it's Dellavedova, if it's Rondo now with the Lakers. It doesn't matter if it's Kevin Love. As long as it's LeBron James, there's an association of wins corresponding to LeBron James being on your team. And I know there's a lot of questions about, will this work for the Lakers? And I think it will work for the Lakers. Does that mean they're going to win an NBA championship? No. Does that mean they're going to win an NBA championship in 2 or 3 years? Remains to be seen. It's hard to necessarily say, because I'm not in the business of being right all the time. Now, I can be in the business of giving an opinion, but the people that really are in the business of trying to be right all the time and they take pride in being right all the time, that's Las Vegas, because money is on the line. And Westgate Superbook came out with their odds for the 2018-19 season. And in the Western Conference, you've got Golden State at 62.5 wins for the year. So the bet would be over or under that. And it continues down the line. And their prediction of how the Western Conference playoffs would lay out, it would be Golden State number one, Houston number two, Oklahoma City at number three, the Lakers at number four at 48.5 win total. And then you've got Utah at 48.5 as well. So tied with the Lakers, and then Denver at 47.5. So what Vegas is telling you is that the playoffs would pit the Lakers versus the Utah Jazz in the first round. And the winner of that series would go on to play the Golden State Warriors, defending NBA champion. So when I'm looking at this, look at Utah versus the LA Lakers. It's more so Utah versus LeBron James. And I'm taking LeBron James. I'm looking at the Utah roster, and Donovan Mitchell versus LeBron James, I'm taking LeBron James. Ricky Rubio versus LeBron James, I'm taking LeBron James. Rudy Gobert, who's just a defensive guy, I'm taking LeBron James. So with the compilation of LeBron James with Kuzma, Lonzo Ball, Rajo Rondo, I'm taking the LA Lakers over the Utah Jazz. And even if it's the Denver Nuggets, you're going to tell me that the Denver Nuggets with Nikola Jokic, who's their leading scorer, leading rebounder, and leading assist guy, who is almost 7 feet tall, he's going to be able to lead that team over the LA Lakers with LeBron James in the first round? Just don't see it happening. And I know they just signed Isaiah Thomas, but he's coming off a hip injury. Can he be back to the same play that he was when he was making a run for a potential MVP in the NBA? I just don't see it happening. I'm taking LeBron James. Now, getting past that first round, I'm taking LeBron James. But as Vegas is going to predict that LeBron James would lose in the second round to Golden State, and that seems very true to me, that this is not all about LeBron James and the Lakers winning an NBA championship the first year, but I do think it will work. It just might not happen in the first year. And it might not even happen that they actually win an NBA championship, but we have seen LeBron James be able to take teams to another level. And you don't always have to be the champion to be number one to have success. I mean, how many different people in sales are still having success, but they're not the number one salesman? They can still lead a good life, make a lot of money. Real estate agents, the same scenario. You don't have to be the number one real estate agent to have a successful life, to be financially set. And that's the same scenario here with the Lakers, is that it might not mean that they're going to win an NBA championship, but with LeBron James, it puts them in a position to be very successful. But where does that leave the Cleveland Cavaliers? LeBron James and the Cavs won 50 games last year. Westgate Superbook is predicting 30 wins for the Cavs. So you can't tell me there's not an impact of LeBron James and what he does for a team, regardless of who he's centered around or who's centered around him. LeBron James equates to wins. And don't take my word on it. Take Vegas's word.
Hey, I wonder this. You said 62 projected wins for the Golden State Warriors?
Yes.
Is the West going to be easier?
62 and a half.
Is the West going to be easier this coming season than it was last season with LeBron coming in? What else about the West makes it easier? Golden State only won 58 games last year. Why are they going to go up in wins this year?
Because they just also signed DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah.
Boogie Cousins.
It's all Boogie.
It's all Boogie.
Come on, he doesn't equal that many wins. I think it's more about the projecting lack of injury, because they did have
injuries.
They had a lot of players out at different times, and that hurt their win total.
And other players moved. Look at Houston. Houston won over 60 games, and they're projected at 54 and a half.
They're taking 11 wins off of Houston.
Yes, and so because they lost a big part of that team with Trevor Ariza, and with him going to Phoenix, that does have an impact on Houston. They did manage to keep Clint Capella in place, but Ariza played very good defense and was also a good three-point shooter as well. So he had some offensive capabilities for that Houston team. So I think it's a situation where you're spreading out some of the talent, and maybe that's an opportunity of where Golden State can have an easier pathway to 60 wins.
I'd take the over on Houston on that number. I'd take the over on that. 54, you said? 54 and a half?
54 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
54 right. and a half.
Yeah.
Well, if they sign Carmelo Anthony, that might be take
might
away
go,
another
might
five
go down.
Games. Yes, another five games, I should say.
All right. 844-477-3776 here in the huddle. We'll be back and hear from A-Rod, not the baseball player. The Green Bay Packer quarterback. Coming up in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back. The huddle on ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, and Lonzo in studio this afternoon. Another chance for you to win $1,000 coming up in about 18 minutes. We'll have another keyword for you in the free cash stash. Green Bay plays tomorrow night as well, preseason football. They open against the Tennessee Titans. Aaron Rodgers probably not going to play at all. Because he's been running scout team at practice. That's a pretty good sign. He's not going to play at all during the game. But he got a little frustrated by his scout team reps, not because of him being on the scout team. I think he's probably fine with that. But he flung the ball toward a couple of tackling dummies on the sideline on the final play of his drill yesterday. And the issue seems to be that the young players – read, young receivers didn't seem to be giving the drill the effort it deserves. And he didn't pull any punches after practice in talking about that. Here's Aaron Rodgers.
It was one of the worst cardio sessions we've had. I don't know how you can make it any simpler. We literally have what the play would be in our terminology on the card. And the effort level is very low, especially what I'm accustomed to having run that period for a number of years. So it's not a good start for us on the cardio period for the young guys. You know, I think Yancey has really progressed. G-Mo, obviously 16. But everybody else was kind of piss poor. You know, you look at the guys that are out there playing with me, that's the opportunities for the young guys to show what they can do. You start to think about guys you can trust on the field. How else can you see it, especially if I'm not playing a whole lot in the preseason? And in those practice, you know, one-on-one reps against our defense, and that's where the ball's going. That's the guys making the plays right now, and that's the guys that I want out there with me. Well, I'm getting older and grumpier, you know. I've been at this for a long time, so. I'm tired, too. You know, we're all a little tired. So you get a little tired, the fuse gets a little shorter. And again, you know, you're in like the 14th play of a 14-play drive, and you get, you know, a low effort level and a MA. That's a little frustrating.
Tell them about it, A-Rod. Call them out, man. I like it. I like it when Aaron Rodgers is taking over. That's a good sign.
What a great point he made, though. I mean, they may not get a chance to play with him. If you're trying to make the team, you got to go out there and put maximum effort. And remember, you're playing with Aaron Rodgers. If he can't hit you, there's something wrong.
I know. It's not like he's Cam Newton or something. Right, Kelvin?
Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a problem with completion.
No, look, I get what he's saying, and as you say, Lonzo, how many times do you get a chance to catch passes from Aaron Rodgers, and you know, you got days to make this team. Days. It's counting down. You're going to 53-man rosters soon. Why would you not be all out?
And they don't have that many practices anymore. They've cut down so much practicing in the NFL, so your chances are a lot slimmer than what they used to be.
Definitely are. So I like it. Hopefully he lights a fire.
With him calling some of those players out, I would love to know, has he been working with some of those players one-offs? You know, a lot of times
privately.
Privately.
You want him to train them privately?
No, I just wonder how many of those, because I obviously some of the veterans have the benefit of the doubt that they've been able to do that, where these younger guys, they really haven't. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that. I don't disagree with you. I like the fact that, yeah, the quarterback is the leader of the team. That's at least on the offensive side, and a lot of times, you have the quarterback as the leader of the entire team. But
yeah, listen, you know, if you're dogging it on these drills, I'm not coming over and giving you individual attention. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, if you're dogging it, you know, don't expect to get individual attention. I doubt it. I mean, let's be realistic here. You know, is he going to go over and spend one-on-one time with all these guys? Probably not. This, when we're doing the drills, show up. Show me you care.
That is so Brett Favre of him. I just cannot believe he would act that way.
Yeah. Well, he's turning into Brett. Let's hope not. Let's know we'll be done sling it around and throw. You know, one thing Aaron Rodgers doesn't do is throw interceptions. Let's hope he doesn't start that. Don't be like Brett that way. Please. Anyway, we'll see how they look in the Packers game with the Titans. But, you know, Rodgers, they're being very careful with. And while Cam Newton will probably come out and play a series or two tomorrow night for the Panthers, don't look for Aaron Rodgers to play at all for the Green Bay Packers. Another NFL note from the 49ers involving former Clemson player Dwight Clark. They have announced plans to honor him this season and beyond. Of course, Dwight Clark passed away in June after a battle with ALS. He'll be remembered this season. They'll have a decal on their helmets, and then they will have a statue outside Levi Stadium. It's pretty good. And, of course, what would you put on that statue? You would put the catch on that statue. The catch, one of the most famous plays in NFL history that gave the San Francisco 49ers a win over the Cowboys in the NFC Championship game, got them to their first Super Bowl title. The statue will be placed in conjunction with a statue of Hall of Fame quarterback Joe Montana, 350-pound statues. I don't think he weighed that much.
No.
They will be exactly 23 yards apart. That's the distance between Montana and Clark on the catch. That's
remember that game vividly. I watched it as a kid. I was a Cowboys fan at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Broke my heart.
Mm-hmm. You were more of a Cowboys fan than a Clemson fan at that point?
Yes, I was much more into the NFL.
Yeah, I like as that. As a young kid, that they're honoring him.
Joe Montana is still my favorite quarterback of all time, and I mean, putting the statues up, that is such a cool thing.
Yeah, it is, and they'll have Clark's number 87 on their helmets, and a silhouette logo of the catch for every game. That's cool too. And they're going to have some tributes to Clark during home games at Levi's Stadium this year. So nice touch there by the 49ers for the former Clemson player.
Yeah, and it's interesting that, you know, when Dwight Clark was inducted into the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame this past April, and it was the first time that I didn't know enough about Dwight Clark's. I knew the NFL side, but didn't know enough about the Clemson side, and they had some former Clemson players there. This was at a time where they could only videotape Dwight Clark, his speech or whatever, but they were talking about Dwight Clark, and apparently he was an unbelievable athlete at Clemson and could play quarterback, could play multiple different positions. He was just one of those guys that he had to be on the field, and it was just amazing to hear some of the stories these guys talking about how good he was at college, and obviously, yeah. I mean, it translated into the NFL, but...
Right, and he only had 35 catches in his career.
Exactly.
At Different that's, game back then. And in his career at Clemson, 35 catches.
They talked about that it was a travesty that it would happen like that because he was so good. Yeah. But that was just not their offense.
No, this is not the way they did it back in the late 70s when he was there. 844-477-3776. We'll be back in a moment in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. We are back in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Is that, what do you call it, thing over there?
Kabaddi,
is it over?
Yeah, it's over.
We have a winner?
We do. India.
India wins?
Yes, they did. They were winning the entire game, so
it's that's not an upset.
No, well.
On the Ocho right
I
now.
I don't know about their rankings ahead of the Kabaddi match, but you know, it looked pretty one-sided to me.
Yeah. All right. We'll keep our eyes on Ocho this afternoon. It's on ESPN2, by the way, if you don't know what this is. It's all kinds of weird little sportsman-like games.
Still looking forward to 3 o'clock in the Sumo Championship.
Sumo at 3.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, I didn't get up and watch it early. Were you up at midnight to watch it?
I was not. I did turn it on this morning and watch some the crystal eating contest, but it was an old one because I knew it was old. Because,
wait a minute.
Hey, what eating contest?
Crystal.
Like crystal hamburgers.
Yes.
Oh.
Love me some crystal hamburgers.
What did you think I meant? Actual crystal?
Could cut your mouth with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you probably could. But I knew it was old because Kobayashi was in it, and from what I think he's banned from all eating contests.
So this is all this stuff. None of this is really live, right? This is just like playback.
I believe, most of it's playback.
Yeah, at least this looked current, though.
Yeah, this Kabaddi. I believe is current. And I think the sumo stuff will be current. Just throw in some old stuff in there, too. I also watched cup stacking this morning for a little while and wondered. Yeah, but you know what? There are kids in this, and this one kid said his family was busted for drugs and stuff, and this kept them out of drugs. Competing in cup stacking, and he gets to travel all over the world and stack cups. Good for him, I guess. I don't know.
Should have brought in that girl. What's her name? Anna something. The cup song. Never mind.
I don't know that one.
Is that a country
that
song?
Old? No, it's a little pop ditty where you do flip the cups over and make noises at it.
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing, but they're not
Anna
making
Kendrick? Their, Anna Kendrick, is that right?
I know what you're
know.
Talking about.
Yeah.
Anna Kendrick was an actress, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's who it
is. Okay.
Yeah. don't hold me to it. Jadeveon Clowney is not practicing right now, the former Gamecock, with the Houston Texans. You know, everybody was kind of getting excited about J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney being healthy together. Well, Jadeveon Clowney's not all that healthy, and he's going into a critical contract year. He has not engaged in a full practice with Houston yet, recovering from a minor knee surgery all the way back in January. Bill O'Brien, the coach, said, when we feel like he's in football shape, we'll put him on the field. I don't know if that's a message to JD or not. He had a better update yesterday when he said, I think Clowney's getting better and better, being closer and closer to being able to do more. We'll see how it goes. Probably do a little bit more next week in preparation for San Francisco. See how that goes, and then at the end of that week, make a decision relative to the next games. He said, well, you have a good plan for him. He's doing a good job. He's working at it. So he's not really calling Clowney out here. You know, Clowney certainly had injury issues his early years in Houston, but has been pretty darn good lately.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.